anything that you need to confess and turn over, now is the time to do that. We know that sin is the issue that stands in the way between us and the throne of God, and now is the time to turn those over so we can have the Holy Spirit work in us this morning and see what He has for us to learn. Father, we just want to, just as we talked about, we just want to lift up Fassel this morning as he is out and about and he is trying to just be part of your body, the extension of the church and the extension of you that is going out and just showing love and comfort and peace and healing to so many hurting people over in Pakistan, that we just pray that you can allow him to continue to do that safely, that we just pray that you can use him effectively, use him mightily. He has made it very clear that he is ready to be used in however you see fit. So we just ask that you continue to give him the courage to answer that call that you have him over there designed to do, that he can just go out and show so many people that that they matter, that a relationship with you is worth all of the struggles and the fights and the hardship that they are enduring. And we just also pray for John Francis as he is trying to do so many good things there and outreach so many different, just little different communities and little villages out throughout India, that he can take your good news and just encourage and build up those people as well, and that you ultimately just may protect them while they do that. And we just want to pray for Brian this morning as he's in surgery, that you just give the doctors the wisdom and discernment to fix him correctly and just put his body back together like it's intended to be. We just pray for Jenna this morning as she has to just have the questions and wonder about her little baby, what's going on, that you can just fill her with your peace, Father, that you may just reach down and wrap her up in your arms, take that little one and just make whatever it is that's going on known to the doctor so it can be straightened around and it can just go back to being the little joyous baby that you've created it to be. And we just lift all them up together before your throne this morning, knowing that you are mighty, that you are bigger than any problems that we can come up with or that we can even think of or dream of here on earth, that you are bigger than all of that. So we just ask that you comfort those this morning. And as we go through your word, we just ask that you allow us to see with your eyes the things that you need us to see, and your ears the things that we need to hear. We just ask that as we go through this, we may be encouraged this morning, that we may be able to take something out of here that may just light a fire in us, that we can go out and share with somebody who doesn't know. We know that the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, and yet we sit here ready to do your work. So I just pray that you give us work to do, that you give us people around us that we interact with every day that need to know who you are, and that we can be that channel between you and them that just gives them an introduction to who you are and what a life with you really looks like, and the meaning that it has, and the purpose that it fulfills, and just the hole that it fulfills in their life that so many people are trying so hard to fulfill and fill up with just worldly things and things of themselves and good works and whatever it is, that we know that it's just lacking you. And just give us that connection this week with somebody. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to not even go through verse 50. We're going to stop way short. We're just going to stop at verse 35 this morning. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. I told him wrong when I told him to put up there the verses this morning. And there's just a lot of different stuff in here when you kind of start digging in and looking at things that are kind of neat, just with just different things. So if you would just want to follow along, and then we'll get into it. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, and we'll read through verses 35. He presented another parable to them. So this is Jesus saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it's full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." He spoke another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three pecks of flour until it was all leavened." All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable, and this was to fulfill what was spoke through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter the things hidden since the foundation of the world. So if you remember where we took off when we ended in Matthew chapter 12 to where we are in 13, Jesus changes the tune of who he's speaking to. He's going to speak directly to the people who, if you will, just to wrap your mind around it, are interested in what he has to say. They're not trying to verbally spar with him and prove their points versus his points. They're open to hearing the truth, what Jesus has to say. They're interested in his kingdom, who he is, and being able to view him as the true Messiah. And that's kind of what he's switched, and that gets us into our parables. So to look at these, we need to, the context of the book, if you will, you need to identify, number one, what is being talked about here, because this is all going to line up as we go forward again. Obviously, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. Okay, when he's talking about this mustard seed and the leaven, or yeast, if you will, we refer to it as yeast. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. So with these two parables, that's what we're looking at. You know, we've looked at past parables. The thing is with parables, you can't make a doctrine out of parables because they're all meant for different meanings, if you will. They're more like an analogy that describes something that the people of that time that were reading this or hearing it come from him, they were able to understand. Okay, and that's why we put it into different analogies as we go through these. So that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He's getting their attention, talking to them in a manner or a way that they can understand easily what he's going to say. So he is talking about the kingdom of heaven in these two parables is what he's talking about. So we look at then in the context of the book, because obviously we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We remember what the book of Matthew was written for, the purpose of that. Matthew was a Jew, right? So the context of this book was Matthew writing this book to the Jewish people, to his people, from the context of proving that Jesus was the Messiah, because they were looking for a king. They were under the Roman rule and oppression, the government of the Romans, and they were looking for a way out. They were looking for their freedom, for their own rule, and they read all of the Old Testament scriptures that they had available to them saying that there will be a king coming. You will have a new kingdom. Your king will be coming. But they're thinking of it, the scribes, the Pharisees, and every normal Jewish person was thinking of an earthly king, somebody coming down, kicking the Romans out, establishing a rule, and establishing that kingdom right there for the Jewish people, the people of Israel. That's what they were wanting. Okay, obviously we know that's not what they got. That's not what Jesus was speaking about when the Old Testaments were wrote and all that was brought to their attention. Jesus is speaking of, he is not a king like what you and I would have thought a king looks like, what they would have thought a king looks like. And he's establishing his kingdom not here on earth, but in heaven for all of eternity. So you can see Matthew is trying to convey this to the people. Okay, that's his whole goal of writing the gospel from this context. He is proving to them and trying to explain to them that Jesus is the true Messiah. He is the king that we've been needing to look for. He is the king that the Old Testaments have promised is coming. It is Matthew. Or it is Jesus, excuse me. That's what he's saying to the people. Okay, so there again, parables are a figure of speech that use an analogy taken from everyday life. And we'll see that more when we get into the leavened bread. But verse 31, with the mustard seed, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it's full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. So he's comparing the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed. So for these two parables, what we look at is the kingdom of heaven is something new to them, if you will. They don't understand that aspect of what Jesus is bringing to them. Remember, they're looking for an earthly king. So this is Jesus trying to explain to them, what is my kingdom? I'm telling you all about my kingdom. I'm telling you all about the future, what's going to happen with it. But to them, it's not going to make sense. And that's in verse 35 when it says, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the beginning of the world or the foundation of the world. These things weren't brought out to them yet. So what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to explain to you what my kingdom is like. And to them, you go back to the context of a parable using an analogy that is something that they're familiar with, you look at a mustard seed. They would have known what that is. They're going to take a very small mustard seed, very small, compared to any other seed, which if they plant and they do with it, they take care of it how they're supposed to, it will become the biggest tree in the garden. Or plant. There's different types of mustard seeds that either turn into a bush or some up to a tree that's a 20-foot by 20-foot tree. So obviously that little tiny seed that can turn around and grow into a ginormous tree, that's what Jesus is going to use as an analogy of what the kingdom of heaven will turn into. He's going to say, right now we're very small. Because you put yourself in the perspective of Matthew and the disciples as they hear Jesus talk about this. There's only 12 of them. They're like, how are you going to have this big kingdom? Like, we're like 12 people here. How are we going to, you know, what do you mean we're going to have this big kingdom that's going to be here for all of eternity, that's going to have all this stuff to offer us that we're supposed to strive for, that we're supposed to look forward to? How? It doesn't make sense. So Jesus is using parables or analogies to be able to prove to them or speak to them in a way that they can understand what his kingdom will look like. He's saying, look, guys, it's tiny. Right now you think this is tiny. And it's kind of fulfilled prophecy. Because look where you and I sit today. Look at what that turned into. That little seed did what throughout the entire world? It grew. The church grew. So think of this kingdom, the kingdom of God. Almost think of it with the church, because it plays hand in hand. They play together, growing the kingdom of God. That's the job of the church to do. Remember, the church is down here to help play out the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, what his standards, principles, and values are. That's our job as the church, as Christians, as followers of Jesus. That's our job to carry that forth throughout the world, which if we do that, in turn, what happens to the kingdom of God? It grows. And that's what he's saying. You 12 that I'm speaking this to, you're going to take this, and then the book of Matthew ends with what is referred to as the Great Commission, where he says, go out and make disciples of all nations in my name. Go out and do it. That's what they did. That's what you and I are to do. With that, when we do that, that tree continues to grow and grow and grow and grow. So that's how he's explaining this to his apostles or his disciples. And he's going to turn around and use the yeast or the leaven to be able to do that as well. And we'll get into all that, because that's a whole kind of crazy thing when you look at Jesus obviously knew Scripture, and he talks about things in the Old Testament that compare there, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but he's using the leaven for the same thing. It goes in a little bit unnoticed into that dough, into that flour, if you will, and it turns into the whole bread rising. Okay, and so he's just saying with these two parables how the kingdom of God will grow. It's encouraging. That's all it is. We can look at these and we can sit here and say, the Word of God is failing. The church is failing. The kingdom of God is not advancing. We can go on and on and on and on. And yet Jesus right here, these words are encouraging to us. This should build us up in a way to look at things not so doom and gloom. To be able to say, it's always growing. It's going to continue to grow. We're going to be able to see the benefits of that because it's a tree. And we're going to get into what's the purpose of a tree. What can we gain from it, right? Okay, so comparing the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed. The kingdom of Jesus is a new concept for the disciples and the followers of Jesus. There again, we talked about verse 35 under these things, right? These parables are, we look at them as an advertisement. Kind of have that mindset with them too. That he's speaking to them and he's saying, hey, look guys, you're 12, we are small, but it's going to grow. Things are going to grow. Things are going to get bigger. More people are going to think like you. More people are going to understand the things that you understand. More people are going to accept me as their sacrifice, as their Savior, as their passageway, as their into heaven for all of eternity. More people are going to see that. We just need to continue to push that out as an advertisement. Okay? So it starts with a seed. We covered seeds in a different parable, but hardy, pure, and clean, and has good germination. That mustard seed did. We know that. If we look at Jesus, was perfect, sinless, pure, and clean. And he's able to take that seed, it was perfect germination, and his kingdom grew out of that perfect little tiny seed. Okay? So, like anything planted, the more it is nurtured, the healthier it grows, and the more fruit that it bears. Okay, so that's what he's trying to explain. This little seed that you guys are going to put in the soil that's going to grow like a tree, the more that you nurture it, the more that you take care of it, the more that you water it, the seed will continue to grow. Well, what about the church? What does Jesus' kingdom do? The more that it's nurtured, the more that it's talked about, the more that it's cared about, the more that people utilize it as Jesus intended it to for building one another up, comfort, encouragement, and joy, what we'll do? We'll nurture that seed. That is watering that tree, allowing that tree to grow, expanding the kingdom of God. Okay? So, this mustard seed is tiny, but when cared for the correct way, which it takes time, does a tree, it doesn't even matter if it's a weeping willow or some weedy tree, it still takes time to grow. Different trees take different time, yes, but they take time to grow. You can't just put a seed in the ground and instantly be looking at a 20-foot tall tree. It just doesn't happen. It takes time. Therefore, that is encouragement. What he's saying to these guys is, you're only 12. What do you mean we're going to have this church that affects everybody? They didn't even get the world then. They didn't even get the church aid. That was the mystery that he's revealing to them. He didn't even understand us. And they're like, how is this? What are you talking about? There's only 12 of us. He says, in time it will grow. Well, we are sitting in that time of growth. We are the fruit of that growth. Clear back then to now, what we're doing. We are the church is the fruit of that growth. So obviously we know that it is continuing to grow. Okay, so it will grow into the largest plant or even to a tree in this case. So think of how kingdoms are formed. It takes time, it takes planning, and it takes execution. These, when this was spoke, they were in the midst of the Roman rule. Okay, the Roman kingdom, and they wanted nothing more than to get away. They made that very clear. That's why they wanted a king so bad. That's why they wanted somebody to come in, kick the Romans out. Don't give up our power. Let us be able to establish our own reign and rule. So when Jesus is speaking of a kingdom to them, think of how hungry they just would have salivated over the word of a kingdom. Saying, well, this is my kingdom. Come be part of my kingdom. They would have been all in. They would have loved to hear that because that's what they wanted. They didn't, just like us. We wouldn't want, we don't want to be under somebody else's rule and reign and authority. If we're Americans, we don't want the Chinese to come here and rule over top of us. We don't want it because we're Americans. This is our country. This is our kingdom. This is where we participate. This is where we do our things. They're no different. So Jesus speaking of a kingdom to them is going to get them thinking. It's going to get the wheels spinning. It's going to get them excited to look at things. Okay? What a draw of encouragement for them when this was spoke by Jesus. It's inspiration. When he's talking about this kingdom, that it's going to grow. But look at us today. What an encouragement and inspiration for us to grow this kingdom. Jesus said it how many thousands of years ago that this kingdom will grow and it will flourish and it will continue to grow. And that's us today. We should be encouraged by the fact and encouraged by the nudge we have to grow God's kingdom, to be able to speak out and tell people about the kingdom of Jesus. We should be encouraged by that. We should want to do that. We should want to grow his kingdom. Okay? The control of evil that they were under and that we are under today doesn't win or last forever, and that's good news. That tells us right here that it's growing. Okay? We can look at this and we know that that's not God's kingdom. The evil that we live in today, the evil that they were in and that oppression that they were under doesn't last forever. We know that because the Romans don't rule anymore. It's gone. It ended for them. The evil in this world will end someday too. And we'll get to experience that kingdom. So this kingdom is good news. When we're looking at how we're looking at the kingdom of God, obviously we know that it's good news. Okay, the part of the kingdom that we all partake in will grow and continue to grow. Even those who have heard and witnessed this directly from Jesus, we know that it's continuing to grow. The tiny seed that is planted gets all the nutrients and care it needs. Okay? This church that's growing, this tree that's growing, this kingdom that's growing, who's the gardener that's taking care of all that stuff? The Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the one that's in there that's nurturing this church, that is nurturing this building up of this kingdom, that's giving the plant when it needs water, it gets watered. When it needs food, it gets fed. When it needs sunlight, it gets sunlight. All the stuff that it requires for a plant to grow, that's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. That's not the responsibility of you and I. You and I will not grow this church. You and I will not grow the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit will use us to be that channel of influence to somebody or to some group of people or whoever it may be in your family to be able to grow the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit will do that. That's not our job. That's not our responsibility. We're just meant to be able to say, okay, use me, just like what Fassel's doing right now. Fassel's not doing all that on his own power. He's not out there trying to think that he's going to go be Superman and save all these people and defend all them people from the evil. He's just willing to show up and be used however God needs to use him. And if we want to see the kingdom of God expanded, if we want to see that growth, if we want it to grow because we know the good that it will do, we just need to show up and let the Holy Spirit use us. Say, okay, God, I'm ready. What do you need me to do? This direction, this way, that person, that checkbook, this one, what? What do you need me to do, God? It's all for your purpose. What do you need me to do? That's the attitude that we need to have. So the tiny seed that's planted gets all the nutrients and the care it needs, and then it turns into the healthiest form, becoming greater than any plant in the garden, as it says. Greater and bigger than any kingdom on earth that is or that has been. That's what that says. Bigger than any plant that's in the garden. It's bigger and better than any kingdom that's on this earth. So why do we strive so hard to fight for the kingdom on this earth when we know that they're not the ones that are going to be the biggest? The ones that fail in the end. The one that is going to withstand time in the end. The one that's going to be here all for eternity. We know what it's going to be. It's God's kingdom. It's not ours. Because we make our life our own kingdom. We are our own kings and queens every day. We do what's right for us. We do what's valuable for us. We do what's easy for us. We do whatever the advantage for us is to get us up above so we can look down on all of our peasants. We do it for us, for our kingdom. But where does that end up? For a while, that plant might look like it's growing pretty fast and pretty hard in that garden. Because we're the ones watering it. It's our nutrients, or it's maybe it's the world's nutrients. Maybe it's not the organic fertilizer. Maybe it's the mechanical fertilizer. The man-made stuff that's getting put on there that's making that plant grow fast and grow hard and going up and up and up and looks really luscious and green, and then all of a sudden, bam, the water gets cut off and it, what happens? The kingdom of God keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. It's like an oak tree that just goes. It's hard to kill an oak tree. They take time, but they're steady and they're eddy and they just go up and up and up and up. So why are we so entangled with our own kingdom? So what happens with this tree? What good does this tree offer? When we accept the invitation into the kingdom, this tree offers us rest. So we see the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. We're going to look at this two different ways. When we accept the invitation into the kingdom, or anybody does, accepts the sacrifice that Jesus Christ presented himself as, and they walk into this tree, they get rest. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. It offers shade to get out of the heat. Think of yourself, shade trees. How nice are they? Get out of that heat. It's hot. It's uncomfortable. You go to a shade tree, it's nice and cool. What about the confession of our sins? What does Jesus say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, taking us out of that heat, placing us underneath that shade, underneath of the umbrella of that tree, which is his kingdom. It's our choice. When we sin, we go out and we're standing in that blistering heat. But with his kingdom, we can confess our sins, and we can go right back and share in that righteousness that he gave us in that shade. It gives us protection. You can go underneath of it when it's raining. You can get out of the rain. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What happens when it's raining or it's hailing or whatever it is and you got no place to go? You go underneath of a tree. Is it going to be better than being standing outside? Sure it is. And all, you get the analogy of it, the rain and the hail and all the ugly stuff that the world throws at us, that tries to beat us down, that tries to take us out, that tries to get us soaking wet so we drown, where can we go? We're able to go underneath the protection of that tree to be able to get out from underneath of all that stuff. It's His protection. That's what this kingdom offers us, because otherwise, what good is this kingdom to us? Here we are on earth, what good is this kingdom to us? It's something future, but why do I have to have hope in it? Why do I have to chase it? Why do I have to change my life for it? Why do I have to be different from the world for this kingdom? Or why should I be? Because what does this kingdom have for me to offer now? What does it offer me now? That rest, that shade, that protection. Because I have my hope in that kingdom. I don't have my hope in this world. Because the hope in this world, when the rain and the hail comes, and I'm standing underneath the tree of the world, it's going to be shredded. It's going to be like standing in the cornfield when the hail hits, and all you see is a broomstick. There's no foliage left on it. The leaves are completely gone. You have no protection. That plant is wide open, vulnerable. And that's what the world's protection does for us. It doesn't give us the protection that we need and that we desire. So for others, then, we have the birds of the air that come in and nest in its branches. What about people that have not accepted that invitation into His kingdom? Have you thought of them? What about those people? What does it offer them? It's an avenue or an extension of reaching out to those people and helping them share in our blessings. Hey, you want to get out of that wind and hail? Come here. Come with me to where I reside. Well, where's that at? Well, let me show you. Let me tell you. Hey, how did you overcome this discomfort or this issue or this mental breakdown or this health issue or this death or whatever? How did you overcome all that? Did I reside in the cornfield or did I reside underneath the oak tree? Let me reach out as an extension and as an invitation to those that are out there that are in need. Why don't you come with me underneath of my protection to find out where I get my rest and where I get my protection from? It's an avenue or an extension of reaching out to people, helping them out, and sharing our blessings that we have because of the kingdom that we live for. That's all it is. That's what our life should be. As the church, all it is an extension and reaching out to the people that are lost. And that doesn't necessarily mean hitting them in the head with your Bible or giving them the gospel, if you will, telling them about Jesus who died on the cross for their sins. That might not even come out. It could just be an extension of the love that Jesus shows you that you can turn around and show somebody else because of the protection and the shade and the rest that He gives you, you're able to offer that to somebody else and encourage and build up and comfort one of them. Therefore, you are sharing in the kingdom of God with that person. Sometimes that's all we're asked to do. Sometimes that's all we're expected to do. Because remember, who does the rest of the work? Who's watering? Who's trimming? Who's clipping? Who's feeding the plant? That's the Holy Spirit's job. Ours is just an extension to reach out. Sometimes we try to do too much. Sometimes we try to take that and we try to beat it into somebody's head until they understand, and then we get frustrated when they don't. That's because it's not our job. Let the Holy Spirit work. We just have to be the ones willing to be that extension, willing to reach out and say, hey, come over here. We have to be able to invite them over That's all it is. Introduce them to the kingdom and let them see for themselves what it can do for them. Those who choose to be part of the kingdom cause this tree to continue to grow. The larger it gets, the more shade, protection, and rest it can offer those who are walking or flying around with nowhere to stop. It said it gave the birds of the air a place to rest or to go down and nest. Well, think about that. Think about an analogy then of the tiredness of everybody. Think of a bird if it had nowhere to land. Do you think it'd get tired? Do you think it'd just die and fall out of the air? It would expend all of its energy, all of its life, all of its power, flying around and flying around and flying around with nowhere to land until it just dies of exhaustion. That's what the church and the kingdom of God has to offer. That's the rest that it has to offer. When we were either in a state before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, you landed in that tree because somebody extended a branch out to you, allowing you a place to land because they, maybe they saw in you that you were tired. Maybe they saw that you were getting weak. Maybe they saw that you were about ready just to die of exhaustion. Because when we're floating around in the air and we're flying in the air, it's all on our own power. And that proves to us that our own power will not save us. It can't. We'll die, we'll fall right out of the air with exhaustion. We need a place to land. We need a place to rest. Mankind needs a place to rest. God rested on the seventh day. That rest that God rested was all for eternity until man screwed it up. Man interrupted that rest. The church offers an avenue to rest by extending its branches. And the more we do it, the more branches are available for everything that's out there circling around looking for somewhere to land. It goes into being a lighthouse. We can be a tree with a light, a beacon that's just floating around and saying, here, come land here, come land here. Or we, like the Bible refers to sometimes, that we take a bushel basket and we put it over that light because we don't want people to land in our tree. That's up to us, whether we make that decision or not. So the outstretched branches of the church are invitations. We know that people are tired and have been searching for a place to rest but have found nothing in this world able to sustain and recharge them. They need the church. They need rest. They need shade and protection of the kingdom of Jesus. Okay, jump to verse 33. So does that make sense with the tree? Can we see the picture of the tree? And the kingdom of heaven, how that is an analogy for the kingdom of heaven. Now we got this yeast or this leaven that's in there. There again, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. Yeast makes dough rise. You can't see what it does. It's the carbon dioxide that it gives off that allows that bread to rise. You can't see it. Okay? A lot of times we can't see what the kingdom of God is doing. We can't see how it's working. We get discouraged because we can't see it doing anything. But a lot of times it's just like this yeast or this leaven. It's in there and it's just slowly rising, and you can't have just a little bit. It's doing all of it. It's not just going to do one section of that. It's going to do all of it. That's the growth. There again, these two parables are about the growth of the church. So this is a parable with the growth. The neat thing about this is when it says pecs, another word is measure. That's actually the word measure is part of the Jewish measuring system, if you will. Okay? And it's kind of neat. This was what took me down too many hours of a rabbit trail that I'll try to just shorten up to not make it make sense. How I don't even know if it makes sense in my head. But you look at offerings, grain offerings. So there again, Jesus is talking to the Jewish people. Okay? That's our context. He's talking to the Jewish people. He's going to give them an analogy that makes sense. A grain offering is basically is 11 pounds a flower. Okay? And there's all these different omers, seahs, measures, ephahs, and all these different measurements. But in today's English terms, a grain offering that they would offer would be 11 pounds, which to me, that's crazy. 11 pounds is a lot. I'd ask Hallie, like, how much is in a thing of bread? Like one loaf? And she's like, 3 cups. Well, that's not even close to 11 pounds. So I mean, that's a lot, right? But that's their grain offerings that they would do for just different offerings. And when Jesus says this, then, the three measures or pecks of flour, that's equal to 33 pounds of flour. So here we have something that these Jewish people are used to as a grain offering of 11. Jesus just come up and told them, hey, the kingdom of heaven, it isn't just your normal grain offering. The kingdom of heaven is in abundance. It is huge. It is so fruitful. It is so big that I don't just put 11 or 12 pounds in. I put 33 pounds of it in, and that's how much it's going to change. That's how fast it's going to grow. That's how big a difference it's going to make. Think of the difference it's going to make. A little bit wouldn't make that much of a difference. But if all of a sudden we have 33 pounds, that's going to make a heck of a difference. So take these people that knew these measurements and knew this. It'd be like us saying, hey, instead of drinking a cup of coffee this morning, I'm going to drink a 55-gallon drum of coffee. It's going to get your attention. You're going to be like, what do you mean? That's how big it's going to change. And look at the world today. Fulfilled prophecy. The church is worldwide. It's huge. And sometimes it's unrecognizable. Sometimes it feels like it ain't there. And that's the leaven. You can't see it. That's the yeast. You can't see it, but it's working. When the end result happens, it's finished, and you can see that it was there. That's the church. The end result of it, you can see, is there. We are here. We get to see the end result of it. We're playing in the end result of it. What Jesus was talking about, that's you and I. That's what's cool, is we're participating in the things that Jesus spoke. Jesus spoke about you and I to his disciples. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. We'll quit there. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to get together this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be part of your church, that you would choose us to be able to have the opportunity to participate in the things that you promised your disciples, that they were confused on and couldn't understand what your church would look like, and yet here we are participating in it. How awesome is that? I ask that you use that as conviction for us. You said that to your disciples with a vision in mind of you knowing what your church was going to be. And I just ask that you allow us to be convicted and be able to play the part that you need us to play in the position of the church that you created us to be in. We just thank you for just being faithful, for always being that rest, that shade, and that protection for us. I just ask that you allow us to see that more clearly, that as that tree grows much greater than any flower or plant that's in that garden, I ask that you give us eyes to see it. Just make that tree so big in our lives that we can't miss it, so we quit going back to the garden of the small plants that we think are enough shade and enough sustenance for us. We just thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.